another hurdle to cross.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's round two for President Obama's more than $800 billion economic stimulus plan. After a party-line vote in the House yesterday, the package makes its way to the U.S. Senate today. There, tax cuts will be the focus, and some lawmakers want to make them heartier. Sarah Gardner has the latest.
Both the House and Senate plans offer temporary middle-class tax cuts, the kind President Obama talked up during the campaign, a $500 break on payroll taxes for single folks making $75,000 or less, and $1,000 for couples earning under $150,000. The Senate version, though, includes another $70 billion to shield middle and upper-middle-income Americans from the alternative minimum tax, economist Joel Naroff.
It is a tax that's gone totally awry and really needs to be gotten rid of. Under these sets of circumstances, this is a middle-class tax cut.
The AMT was originally crafted to make sure the wealthy couldn't deduct their way out of paying taxes, but critics say it now ensnares even some families making under $100,000 a year because it's not adjusted for inflation. Still, Naroff and many economists believe the middle-class tax cuts in the stimulus package won't quickly reignite the economy since so many Americans first have to pay off debt. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
World markets mixed today. Japan was up by nearly 2%. Hong Kong shot up 4.5%. This morning, though, Europe is trading lower. Wall Street showed a little pop yesterday. The Dow gained 200, about 2.5%. The S&P gained about 3%. Well, world and business bigwigs are still rubbing elbows over there in Davos, Switzerland. The World Economic Forum continues as participants keep an eye on the U.S. stimulus package making its way through Congress. Diane Brady is senior editor at Business Week magazine. She joins us now. Diane, how's the Obama plan playing in Davos?
Well, I think that certainly people welcome the sense that the U.S. is trying to do something to get out of this mess. But the main discussion at Davos is how do we adjust to a world in which the American consumer is not going to buy things they don't necessarily need with money that they never really had. So that seems to be the motif here. And the general feeling is, even with the stimulus package, the U.S. is not going to be the engine of growth for years to come.
What kind of questions are swirling around Davos right now, especially as former President Clinton is there? A lot of economic growth in the 90s during his two terms.
Sure.
What are they going to be asking President Clinton?
I think there's a couple of things. Now, Clinton has obviously made his personal mission much more on the philanthropic end. I think there's also a sense that Clinton, along with the previous administration, has to answer for some of the policies, the sense that innovation got ahead of regulation and people were asleep at the switch and allowed this to happen. And certainly a lot of the kind of rah-rah economy started under Clinton. And one of the things that is happening here, which is different from previous years, is I think there's been much more of a focus almost away from the U.S. It may be partly because the representation isn't here. It's also because China is clearly a much bigger factor, and people are trying to contemplate what's going to happen to Europe. Are we going to see growth out of Asia and India? And a lot of it is companies trying to figure out, where am I going to make my money in the next decade if I can't make it the same way I did the previous decade?
You know, we talked about the muted tone and how there wasn't the glitz and glamour that usually is Davos, right? How are things going to wind up, do you think, as people exit this economic forum?
Well, there's still certainly the parties, but people are steeped in pessimism here, and what they're really trying to figure out is, what is the way to grow? And there is a sense that government plays a much, much larger role than it ever has in previous years. And so you can't just look to the private sector anymore. Everybody in every country around the world is increasingly dependent on their governments for bailouts, for stimulus, to try and get the consumer back. So that's given the politicians a much bigger role than normal as well.
Diane Brady with Business Week, thanks for joining us from Davos.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. By Medtronic Foundation, now looking for runners benefiting from medical technology to participate in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. Application at Medtronic.com/globalheroes. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Shell Oil posted a huge drop in quarterly earnings. While the company made nearly $5 billion in the final 3 months of last year, profits dropped sharply, 56% from the previous quarter. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
Last year, Shell made the biggest corporate profit in European history, $31.4 billion. But that was for the full 12 months. It was due to the soaring price of crude in the first half of 2008. By the end of the year, the oil price had collapsed, and Shell's profits were showing some wear and tear. Nick McGregor is with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says the dwindling price of oil is very bad news for Shell. The company specialises in expensive exploration projects.
Shell, of course, is one of the big investors in tar sands and Canadian oil sands. And those sorts of projects have just become totally uneconomical with oil prices at current levels. So for a payoff on those sorts of areas, they really need to see a climb in prices from here.
The oil cartel OPEC says it's determined to make that happen. The OPEC head says if the oil price continues to fall, we will make further cuts in production. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, a report out today says most of these abysmal earnings numbers and all the ramifications of the economic fallout could very well have been averted. You heard right. The Congressional Oversight Panel for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, says most of the failures, bailouts, closings, and layoffs could have been nipped in the bud had there been more regulators working to rein in abusive lending. The report calls for the creation of a new banking regulator. More online at marketplace.org, the numbers there, and podcasts at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.